Welcome to Lane Violation. We back. A little harmonization to bring you into the show today. It's a good week. NBA Finals start tonight. Kawhi Leonard versus the Warriors. It's going to be good. We in the North. And, you know, we haven't talked basketball in about, what, about a week and a half? Almost two now?
Yep.
So, we got a lot for you today. We're talking straight finals. We'll put Lakers on the side burner for now. And so, fellas, how we feeling about this matchup on tonight? And I guess we'll get into predictions later. We'll cover some other stuff. So.
Rob Pelinka in five. Calling it right now.
Fab six, baby.
The fact that he had to be from U of M. It's going to be a fun matchup between the Raptors and the Warriors. DeMarcus Cousins is still questionable,
yes,
right, for tonight. We don't think he's going to play. I don't think that he should play. They've done really well without him anyways. And you might as well be 100% healthy if you're going to come in and contribute from the bench. The bigger question mark is Kevin Durant. He's expected to be back throughout the finals, but we're not sure of the timetable, I'm sorry. So he would obviously be the better matchup against Kawhi defensively and offensively, obviously, because those two would kind of cancel each other out in a way.
Yeah.
And then I would pick Steph Curry over Kyle Lowry, and I'd pick
playoff Lowry, bro. This guy.
I'm gonna let him continue.
I'm gonna keep doing that while staring at you, Gregory.
Yeah, that's fine.
I would take Steph Curry over Kyle Lowry. I would take Klay Thompson over any other person. and Draymond Green is just gonna eat Pascal Siakam like alive. Don't get me wrong. Siakam is a really good player. But Draymond Green, with the way he's been playing right now, he's playing on an all-NBA, first-team all-NBA level right now in the playoffs. He's definitely in the all-NBA playoff team. I don't know if that's a thing.
You should create it.
I'm making billion-dollar idea. So he will dominate the paint. Another question mark is Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka. They played really well by kind of bringing their own thing to the Eastern Conference Finals against Milwaukee. Can they sustain that level of excellence with, you know, the amount of attention they're going to have to pay to every single player on the floor, because Golden State loves to spread the ball and they don't have, you know, that one ISO player just like Toronto has with Kawhi. So a lot of interesting matchups. I think ultimately the Warriors will be better. I think they're ready for it. I think the lack of experience of Toronto will kind of kick in as well. Greg, do you think playoff Lowry can take over and become the NBA Finals MVP?
Let me look at the MVP odds. Let me look at these finals MVP odds.
It has to be Kawhi first, right?
I think...
Sandra Turan.
Might be Steph, because Steph was on a roll. Might be Steph and Kawhi up top.
Let's see. We got Steph at 2-3. Kawhi Leonard at 11-4. Draymond Green.
Yeah.
At 10-1. I like that one.
A lot of people are thinking that.
Kind of like the way Iggy got his, yeah, when they won against Cleveland.
Durant's at 10-1.
That would crush
Clay's them. At 20-1. Siakam at 40-1. Lowry's
really?
At 100-1. So, like, value-wise, like, if the Raptors win, you're probably going to expect Leonard to get it. But, like, if Leonard, for some reason, doesn't have a great series and they win.
Lowry is equivalent to the field.
That makes sense.
Don't get me wrong. I think the lack of expectations for Kyle Lowry at this point is working in his favor, just like Danny Green, who hasn't scored in the last two games as a starter. Let me just preface that.
His three-point shooting has been very bad these playoffs.
Yeah.
That's an understatement, Greg.
That's an understatement, because the only reason they got him, well, it was because to get Kawhi, but also the only reason that Toronto got him is like, a 3-and-D guy who's experienced in the playoffs, who's a solid shooter, who can go on hot streaks. Where is the warmth? Where is it, Danny? 21% from three? No. I could not average better because it's still the NBA.
You could do exactly what he's doing right now and just not score.
So should I be a starter for the Raptors?
I mean, through technicalities?
Possibly.
It's a possibility.
So, anyways, lack of
experience. But I don't know how you can deal with, like, French Canadians and stuff, though. You don't bang with them.
I think it'd make me more relatable.
You think so?
I think they'd, like, first of all, hate me. And then once I show them my side of the story and clearly convince them that French is better than Canadian French, then we can have a talk about how I'm right. The lack of expectations for Kyle Lowry and Danny Green is working in their favor right now, because if they didn't even score 2 points, we're winning. And if Kyler is like does well, then, oh God, we didn't expect him to do well because we expected Kawhi to have literally everyone on his back. So now the Warriors are like, oh crap, we can't like triple team homeboy. We have to go on Kyle. We have to go on Siakam because the floor is spread out. Kyle Lowry's shooting has been pretty good in the Eastern Finals, by the way. So I'm looking for him to continue on that. I don't know if he can be the factor that decides the fate of the series. I think a lot of people are like excited about the matchup. I still think the fate is already sealed for the Warriors, but that's my personal conviction. I just think that there are a lot of things for the Raptors that would work in their advantage because they don't have that as many expectations as the Warriors have, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you just think that the only reason that the Raptors would win is because they don't have the expectation to win?
I think that we've seen a lot of underdog stories in the past couple of years, you know, with any, like, not just in the NBA, but, you know, any sports or whatever. And I think that they are probably as underdog as it gets to me, not because they don't have the talent, just because it's their first time here. They haven't performed, you know, the level that most of the other players should besides Kawhi, right? Kawhi has had
a
history
performance. I have a question for you. Do you think you'd feel differently if the Bucks were in the finals instead?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because same thing, lack of experience.
I mean, Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green have both won a ring before. And Marc Gasol has played on very good Western Conference finals teams with the grit and grind.
But is it the finals, though? Like, Kawhi, yes. Kawhi, yes. Danny, yes. But Danny wasn't the... Well, Danny did have that a record-breaking 7-point. Yeah. I think he had 7 made three-pointers, and like Steph broke
times.
That after.
Like he's gone multiple times.
Him and
times.
Gary Neal were balling at that point. But shout out Gary Neal. Like, I thought I'd say Gary Neal today.
I think the only the argument that you have, like Lowry hasn't had the success to reach the Eastern Conference Finals before this point, but he still played up to the second round of the final. Like, playoff experience still matters, whether you're you know, first round out or whatever. I think that the only real player that they have that this is his second time around, Siakam, very pivotal piece on their rotations and their team. But he's been growing, you know, he's been doing well. I don't think it's a matter of just saying like one team is less experienced in this situation.
It's not just to that level. It's just I wonder how that lack of experience is gonna be a deficit when they play against guys like Steph has been through the worst and the better of NBA Finals, in my opinion, right? Because he was quote unquote in like one of the coldest streaks during the NBA Finals once he was guarded by Dellavedova, right? It wasn't because the guy was super good in defense. He was good, but Steph was also on a very cold streak.
Well, I think that's an interesting point to bring up because I think that one of the reasons why the Raptors do have a really good shot at this is because that they can take that Cleveland Cavalier blueprint and really rough up Golden State on the perimeter. They have the length for it. They have strong guys out there. Like Danny Green, even though his shot has been cold, he's really strong out on the perimeter. Kyle Lowry's a dog fighting through screens.
Defensively, I really enjoy watching him play.
They have the switchability across all five positions. It's really good for them. And I think that obviously they're going to have to it'll be important to see how their bench comes out because in the like semis against the Sixers, it was not great, but against the Bucks in the Eastern Finals, it was pretty solid with Van Vliet and Norman Powell in stretches. And Serge has been great across these playoffs as a whole.
Also has finals experience.
So, I mean, I think that, you know, the matchups are obviously something to look at. You know, I think that Steph obviously has he's probably the second best player in the series. If you're taking Durant out, if Durant isn't in the play right here, he's the second best player in the
Kawhi's
series
better?
To Kawhi. I think these playoffs right now, I think Kawhi has made the point that he's the best player in the series.
Fair. He's the most efficient player in the entire postseason so far.
Yeah, let me look at that.
Like in terms of field goal percentage, I know Steph's plus or minus is like the third highest, behind Draymond Green.
I think Kawhi's is the highest.
No.
That's my
Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid?
Yeah, throughout the entire postseason. Joel Embiid was 143 last time I checked. Draymond Green was 139, and Steph's was 136. But that was like a week ago before they played their last game. Also, Joel Embiid has a bigger plus or minus because he stopped playing after the semis. So What? Dre, what do you think is the biggest matchup to look at for?
I don't even want to start there.
Okay.
I want to take a greater look at this as a whole, because I understand why Vegas has the Warriors as the favorite. I understand why majority of people have the Warriors as a favorite. I understand why I have the Warriors as a favorite. I've been winning in six.
Yeah, in six, right? Yeah.
Possibly seven, just because the Raptors do have home floor, which people are not considering, right?
Yeah.
But let me ask you this question. Well, let me preface it with this first. 2017.
Yep.
Kawhi Leonard was playing the Warriors mm-hmm. in Oracle in game one.
Gets injured.
With a Spurs team with the pieces behind
them. Team is close to retire.
Weren't great.
They were all right.
Yeah, they were all right.
They were their usual.
But let's preface this. Any team that Pop is coaching is just going to be a little bit better than they should.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
On paper, they didn't look good. I'll give you that.
Cool. Except those rings teams, they were great teams.
That's different.
But yeah, no. Yeah,
Kawhi. Kawhi in that game. All Kawhi.
Balled out.
He had 26 points in 23 minutes, along with 8 boards and 3 assists, I believe. Then Zaza Pachulia happened, and he comes down after shooting a jumper on not the wing, but kind of close to the corner.
Mm-hmm. Was the corner.
Rolls his ankle and goes out. At that point in time, he had them up on a Warriors team with Durant on the roster.
Yep.
78-55. Kawhi by himself.
I agree.
Does Kawhi Leonard not have a better team around him?
He definitely has a better team around him than that.
Is Kawhi Leonard not a better player at this point in time?
I would also agree with that. Because the usage is there, I think that
he's definitely... And the ISO game, we've seen the ISO game grow. Yep. He's not necessarily coming off of screens and working the mid-range, which he can still do. And he has proven that he can take over and be dominant in clutch time.
Yep.
So with those factors weighing, when Kawhi Leonard was on a lesser team and was a lesser Kawhi Leonard and was taking the Warriors to the woodshed the first game,
but didn't have
home court advantage. Now he does have home court advantage. Has a better team around him.
Okay,
and is a better player.
And in the last 2 years, the Warriors haven't improved at all.
This is not a better Warriors team. That 2017 team had better depth.
I would agree with that.
Better depth, I agree.
Matters more than a collection of pieces, because Durant was on that team.
So you see, a lot of people are talking about depth, and I want to pause that for a minute, because I heard someone say, who was it? Because I really liked that take. It was, the depth really matters throughout the regular season, and like if you go to the extent of a long series, like 6-7 games, in my opinion, right? However, just like the Bucks. Why would they not play Giannis for more than 40 whatever minutes, right? Because the Budenholzer took him out.
Because he made a mistake. Because he made not the right decision.
I agree. What I'm saying is that the Warriors are going to keep their 5 best players on the court at all times, right? And they're going to try to...
No, they're at least going to go seven.
Obviously.
Deep. And that team in 2007 didn't go more than 8 deep. So that doesn't
but really to me, matter. To me, I would take the Steph of this year... Over Steph of 2017.
I would not.
I would take the Draymond Green of this in the postseason. I would take the Draymond Green of this postseason over the 2017. I would even take
the 2017 Draymond was better than this Draymond. Yeah.
Dude, like he's balling right now.
He's balling on the level he was in 2017.
Okay, so they have the same Draymond, but at the same time, the Curry is better in this postseason so far. Can we agree on that?
No, because I think it's a myth that Curry has been bad in the postseason.
I completely agree. But I'm saying he's better. He's not like he wasn't like bad. He's just better this year. Isn't he?
That doesn't mean anything, because I just gave you facts of a completely worse Kawhi Leonard team.
I get it. The Raptors have a shot.
And Durant is not playing, at least the first game.
And they have
home court advantage. The evidence I'm giving you is swinging heavier in the likes of that Toronto will extend the series farther. I'm not saying they're going to win the series.
No, when you look at it, I completely agree with you. I'm just like, I'm not like counter-arguing. I'm just saying, but at the same time...
And I'm telling you, I don't think there is a but at the same time.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
But at the same time, I would still, if you look objectively at this Warriors team, don't get me wrong, they were incredible. They've been incredible since 2015, let's be honest. Let's be real for a second. First of all, they can swing any 20-point deficit in about, like, 5 minutes if they really want to.
If you look at the Raptors' have the same exact kind of characteristics.
Right? Yeah, because they came back against the Bucks like twice. Two games in a row, game 5 and 6, mm-hmm. they started the same way. Really poor shooting, really poor offense, like very tentative defense. Next thing you know, boom, we're coming back. We're winning this thing. Bye. Giannis didn't fold, but he kind of folded at the same time. Warriors have that experience of just doing that now on a regular basis. Can they be trapped into doing that? Maybe. However, I believe that without Durant, Steph Curry is showing his full range of superstar power. Klay Thompson also comes into his own. Draymond Green becomes better. Iggy in the finals is terrifying to play against no matter what you say. And then you have Sean Livingston, who has a great knowledge of the game, a great way of keeping his guys in check, the second stringers, who might not be as good as the 2017, you know, bench. However, they have
people. I mean, there was the same people on the bench. They were just better at that point in time.
No, I agree. Yeah. But I'm just saying.
Quick little aside, DeMarcus Cousins is active for game one.
All right.
But Which take that what you will. Really, that doesn't necessarily that doesn't mean he will play. I just want to say
he is active. But also, I don't think that necessarily helps the Warriors either. But I love DeMarcus. But
technically speaking, statistically speaking, he made them worse every time he's played since that other
injury. All I'm saying is, I have the Warriors' favorite. I agree. What I'm saying, let's pack away the narrative that that this series is not going to be entertaining. Let's pack away the narrative that the Raptors are going to go fast. No. Let's just pack away this whole narrative that like the Raptors are not comparable.
I will definitely agree with that. I also want to calm people down with your train of thoughts, where it says, "Oh my God, the Raptors are the team that might end, you know, the Warriors dynasty."
I don't think that ever came out of my mouth.
No. I'm saying your train of thought can lead to that.
That didn't come out of my mouth. You don't know my train of thought. You don't write, "Oh, he believes." You read, "He said he believes," and I didn't say anything.
You just said that you believe that.
No, I said, I literally said that the Warriors will go.
I know.
That the Warriors will win our favorite. So what I'm saying is, don't put the words in my mouth if they're coming out of my mouth. Yeah, Lewis.
It's Willis.
Yeah. Eat that.
I did. Yeah. Two sandwiches.
Don't make me come across that table. Sure, I'll leave the pot room looking like it usually looks when we come in here.
Can we mute him? All I'm saying is that the Warriors, now you made me lose my, the Warriors are still the dynasty that we know they are. And they still have the key players to win any game they truly want to win or that they can possibly win if they don't all go on a cold streak for like the next 5-6 games, okay? I don't think it's going to be a sweep. I still want to tone down the enthusiasm of the Eastern Conference is back. The Raptors are incredible. And
I haven't heard that.
It's going to be...
Have you heard that?
On Twitter.
Have you heard that, Greg?
And I'm paraphrasing. Obviously, it's not like the exact same thing.
It's not the exact same thing you're saying.
Oh, my God.
Not to that extent. I think I've seen... So, because I follow a few Raptors Twitter. I mean, I think that Raptors Twitter is confident. I think that they're in a good spot.
They should be.
You know, obviously, like, seeing the run that they've been able to make, like, the Orlando series... was the Orlando series, but like taking on the Sixers and beating them in 7 with that shot at the end, and then taking on the Bucks after being down 0-2, coming home and taking the next 4, like that's an emphatic way to really build your confidence, especially with a lot of people going to the Bucks-Raptors series saying, Bucks are going to win this in 5. Bucks are going to win this in 6. Like I called them in 6.
Oh, people had them cross. Yeah.
We all picked the Bucks, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so. I think I picked
the Raptors because I'm better than you guys.
I think that they have the momentum. They've seen that Kawhi is pushing the pedal down. He's you know, he's not holding back. Like,
is he going to run out of gas? That was my one concern. Is I said a long series for is better for Milwaukee than for Toronto because Kawhi will become more tired. And when he's more tired, and for some reason he didn't seem like he ran out of gas. He did look tired at times, but he was able to manage it. But do you think that load, though, like at the end of the day, he did get like a week or so of rest, right?
One Leonard is a machine. Doesn't matter.
Load, like, it's nuts.
The management that they have done with him the regular season really made it so they can play him 40-plus minutes a game in the playoffs, and he's still uber efficient. 2, the final schedule is long. There are 2 days of rest between each game for the first 4 games. I think
so. Goes the day, then it's not. Then
it's 3 days. Yeah.
I think it's 2 or 3 days.
It's 2 days when they're like when they go back to back, and it's 3 days with 1 day of travel, then 2 days of rest. Okay. I think.
Okay, that's a long. But it's a long series. Like this series is going to last 3 weeks if it goes 7.
Yeah,
That's crazy. That's
No, I'm
that
loving it.
That is plenty
it.
Of time. So that it. Means crazy, though. That really means that each game you can throw out your guys for 40 plus minutes and be like, hey, we're getting a couple games rest. Yeah. We're gonna have some time tomorrow for some film review, you know, and then the next day we can do some light work. Like this is the time that you were like, hey, we got here to the finals and now this is our reward for it. We now have home court and we have some extra time off if we need to, you know, come back and reel everybody in. I think that what's important to look at too is somewhat important to look at too is during the regular season, both times the two teams right? met, Raptors won both games. One in Oracle and one at home. And the one they won at home, Kevin Durant went off for 51 points.
That was a good game. That was a really good game.
And they won in overtime. I mean, the Raptors, it's not like they have their number because, you know, playoff Warriors is different from regular season Warriors. It's not that at all. But, like, the Raptors are like, we know we can hang with this team. And that's very important when you're playing the Warriors. You can't be a team that's just like, it's going to be tough. Like, we need some bounces our way. Like, the Raptors can be like, I mean, sure, we'll take some bounces our way. But, like, even if it doesn't, we have the resolve to take on this team.
And you see what I like. It's a really good point you bring, obviously, because the regular season does matter at some point in time. Except that on the opposite side of the spectrum, you could have the Warriors having the Toronto's number and being like, oh, they won against us twice. You think Draymond Green, okay, real quick, against Cleveland last year, because they didn't get to sweep him the year before. Oh, yeah, we're sweeping them. I don't care what it will take. We're going 4-0. We're packing their bags. Bye. Winning the ship.
I mean, they were a worse team last year anyway.
They were. But the mentality of the Warriors was we're not losing a game.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care what we do. And they did not lose a game.
For sure.
In my opinion, it's like, oh, the Raptors think they got it, huh? Like, let's show them. You know, so I'm expecting the Warriors to come in, like, full fire. Don't get me wrong. Toronto has all the tools to be able to manage that, you know? And they might lose the first two games just like they did against the Bucks. Still won an Oracle, and then, you know, we go from there. I just think that the Warriors' ability to just turn it on whenever they want to with more pieces you can actually rely on is going to make the difference. The depth is an issue that might be taken into account when we go to, like, game 6 or 7. I just don't see the Warriors being that worried about it because they know what they can do and they know what they have done. Whereas the Raptors, it's kind of like, we have this white canvas we can paint anything on. We don't really know what's going to happen. We haven't faced those postseason Warriors who came out of a sweep against the Blazers. Like, they have the momentum still. They've had a lot more resting time, and they've been able to strategize to, you know, come up with a really efficient game plan. Steve Curry is no joke when he comes to coaching. You know what I mean? So I love all the points you guys make about the Raptors. I'm just saying, well, I'm expecting the Warriors to also come out like really blasting them. I expect, like, the first game to be a blowout, like, in Jurassic Park. Also, quick shout out to the fans of Toronto who are already in line, and they've been in line since 9 a.m. For a 7 o'clock, I think, tip off, or 7:30.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. Yeah. So they're gonna wait 12 hours. Shout out.
So it's interesting if you look at, like, the net ratings for the playoffs. Warriors are only a half a point better than them at 6.2. The Raptors' defensive rating in these playoffs has been 102.4 points, which is second best to the Bucks. I think that it's important to talk about, and I was hearing Kevin Arnovitz talk about this on the Hoop Collective. The Raptors have two former defensive players of the year in Leonard and Marc Gasol. They have three players who've made all defensive teams in Danny Green, Serge Ibaka, and Kyle Lowry. And perhaps their best regular season defender, Pascal Siakam, is also here. I think that it's important to note that this team, look at how much they've done, and their starting lineup hasn't even reached playing 500 minutes together yet. Like, they are comparable to a Warriors team that, mind you, is without Durant right now, but they were still putting up those numbers with Durant. It hasn't been, like, that big of a shift in any way. I think that the more this Raptors team plays together, the quicker gonna get more confident. Everything is happening. And this is the time right now. That boost, the way that they took on the Bucks, I think that you can't really quantify that but on the court, it will represent itself.
So, but you bring up defense, and before Dre start telling me that I'm stupid, Clay, you got on the other side of the court, you got Clay Thompson.
Who I think is a overrated defender, but go on.
Very debatable. Andre Iguodala.
He's very good, just I think overrated.
Draymond, I think he's regressed. I think he used to be better.
I don't. Yeah, I could see that, but I still. I mean,
but if, no, he's still.
Yeah, like
I think, he's still a great. I think Iguodala. Like,
am I done talking?
No, no. But I'm gonna keep. I'm gonna keep interrupting you. Iguodala, I don't think is the same Iguodala that like kept LeBron in check a few finals ago, and you're facing Kawhi Leonard, who's younger than LeBron was at this.
Yeah, that and point. Iggy won't be the primary. I don't think Iggy will be the primary defender. If I'm the Warriors, I'm putting Draymond on him. That's what I'm personally doing.
So what are you going to do about rim protection?
That's where everyone needs to figure it out. I think, okay, obviously there's like some type of things to like come up with. But I believe that I'm putting whoever I think can handle Kawhi's best.
And you can't run. I get that for it. Like, I agree with that. But it doesn't matter who you run at him.
No. Like, yeah, he's still
like,
going to get his.
Like, we saw with the last series. Like, they had three, maybe four comparable guys they could run at him at one time. And that did not matter.
Yeah. The Sixers decided to put one guy on him and let everyone else beat him, and that allowed them to push him to seven to the brink. The Bucks were like, let's throw everyone at Kawhi and let
the collective
do everything. And it still didn't work out because Kawhi, his playmaking has been developing throughout these playoffs.
Oh, for sure.
Which is something you wanted to see big time.
Yeah.
No, I completely agree. Like, you can't stop Kawhi. There's no eliminating him from bringing his team back from a 10-point deficit.
You cut his cornrows.
I really wonder if that's a superpower.
I'm thinking, like, if you cut his cornrows and you come out with, like, a regular haircut.
He might get, like, 13 points on a good day.
I mean, Draymond's probably the guy to limit him.
So
and I think that is a great point, especially at the level of playing.
So that's why I put him, because he can defend from the perimeter, inside. He can handle Kawhi in the post. Kawhi's post game is no joke, by the way. Really efficient from the post. So that's why I'm putting him, because I know that Kawhi is going to try to find his spot no matter where he's at on the court. And I know Draymond is the one guy that can follow him anywhere. Iguodala can too, except Iguodala, I think, would be better if you have him more focusing on the offense since KD is not here. Because Iggy used to be one of the best two-way guard in the league, in my opinion, like back in his heyday. And his offensive IQ is really elevated now. And he can, like, be the point guard the Warriors need when Steph, you know, is trying to be off ball and whatnot. So I would have Iggy focus on that first. Draymond limiting Kawhi gives the Warriors a little less to worry about. And then Steph and I think Kyle will give a lot of hell defensively to Steph. I think Steph can definitely keep up with Kyle Lowry when he's on the other side.
I don't think Steph's going to be on Lowry. I think they're going to hide. I think they're going to
play on him.
I think they're going to hide. I think Clay would be on Lowry. I think they're going to hide Steph on Danny Green. Until Danny Green proves he's going to make his shots, Steph doesn't have to run around a lot. And if you're going to – Danny Green's post game has developed a little bit more, but if you're going to tell me that the Raptors are going to try and just post up Danny Green on Steph to get offense done,
unless he's on
fire, you're really winning as the Warriors. So I don't think that you'd do that.
So who do we have guarding Siakam?
I think that's the toughest matchup for the Warriors.
You put Looney out there?
I don't.
Rough.
That's tough, because then you have Gasol.
Looney on Gasol, just to like. Looney can be the Tristan Thompson that Cleveland had before he got his crazy deal that made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. I mean, Gasol is still.
Looney's gonna get a deal?
I still think Gasol has the edge in that matchup. Yeah. But that'll be probably what they do. Iguodala is probably going to have to be the guy that guards Siakam, and that's going to be tough for him. I mean, he's very smart, and he has the length and the strength to bother Siakam. But Siakam has made strides in this postseason. I think that the one thing that Siakam has missed the last couple of games out is his three-point shooting dipped a little bit. So if he can get that back in check, that's going to just make everything easier for their offense. Mm-hmm. But if he's still missing the three-point shot, then he's going to have to figure out how to get by.
I think Iggy has the edge on that matchup just because he is so smart playing the man. Like, he knows exactly how to tailor his defensive skills to his matchups. And I think Siakam being this is where the experience matters, in my opinion. This is Iggy against Siakam is where the experience matters. I don't believe that Siakam will go 0-11 from the field. I think he's still going to get a little bit, but I think he's going to be really confused when he's going to look at what the Warriors give him defensively. Yep. I don't think he's going to be able to make the right reads. I don't think he's going to be able to make the right post-up moves because Iggy is going to manage him to put him in where he wants him to be. And Siakam is going to be, this is not my spot. Yep. And out of nowhere, just be confused, offensively speaking. So I think I give that edge. Marcus Gasol could be the key factor for the Raptors. If he really takes full advantage of Kevin Looney's lack of all-around skills, I guess.
I think that if, because we haven't seen it yet, I think if Marc Gasol goes out and he has a game where he goes for 25 and 8 and like 5 assists, that's automatic. Like if you told me, you didn't tell me the results of the game, but that was the box score that I'd probably say the Raptors won.
Yep.
Because he hasn't quite had a game like that. He's been a lot more happy to pass from the high post and around the break, which, I mean, good.
Which may have been the game plan, too, because they really wanted him to try to move pieces around by attracting, like, the big men off the...
But I think that the Warriors are going to look at it as like, hey, until he consistently burns us, especially from three, because he can make it, but sometimes he's just... too slow, and then everyone has a chance to recover, and then it's like, well, what are we doing? Then it's going to be tough for them. So I do think Gasol is going to be an X factor for sure. I think the Siakam-Iggy matchup, if that's what it is, I think that's going to be a big matchup.
Yeah.
I think, you know, once KD comes back into the equation, things change a little bit just because I think the games will be slower and the turnovers become more of a problem for the Warriors, who are a bit of a high turnover team anyway, and the Raptors excel at capitalizing on turnovers. They are one of the best teams at getting points off of turnovers, and they are deadly in transition. So are the Warriors, mind you, but the Raptors really did that. I think the reason why that I think that this series is going to be tough is that the KD being out probably the first two games – and the Raptors having home court. It's like the perfect storm of things. Like, remember when the Warriors were going to take out Cleveland in 2016?
Yeah.
Up 3-1, it required a perfect storm for them to lose that. Draymond had to go out with the technical, you know, game six, they'd lost. They had game six, and Steph they still lost it.
As well.
And then game seven. I mean, obviously LeBron had to play out of his mind, but sometimes against a great team like the Warriors, you need to have these little boosts.
Just like in every single team. The thing that's really interesting about the NBA is that unlike a one game and you're done, you get seven games.
Yeah.
You can get seven games against the best opponent. Usually, if in the rugby world, no one will understand this, but in the rugby world, there's this team called New Zealand All Blacks. And they're the cream of the crop, the whatever you want to call it, the best thing ever. And for some reason, the French national team always plays them well because they know it's one game and they know they only need certain things to line up the right way and it's game, right? And that's why I believe the Warriors still take it pretty, not easily, but easier than people think because you're the greatest team. And 10 out of, like, in my opinion, the Warriors win 6 or 7 out of 10 times against that Raptors team. Would you agree with that? I'll go with 6. I said it was 6.
I mean, it's the best of 7, so I'd rather think of it as a 7. And I don't know, because I actually do think Kawhi Leonard is kind of anti-Warrior. Like, he's the one guy, and he's proven it, like Dre opened up with, that is easy, who will take them out. And it's interesting, because on the defensive side, we didn't really talk about how the Raptors are going to match up with the Warriors.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard not having Kevin Durant on the defensive side the first two games.
Big load management.
Means that he can really just help off ball. And he is probably one of the best in the game off the ball at just hunting steals getting his arms out there.
He's the best defender in the game. There's no, besides Andre Trent, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Andre, who do you have as your MVP of the series? Well, maybe not MVP because we don't know who's going to win or lose.
I'm really torn right now because, like,
who are your best
initially
players?
Initially, coming into Well, let me preface this first. Initially coming into the series, I was heavy Warriors. So I was like, I didn't think they were going to like easily beat Toronto, but I was like, they're going to beat Toronto. But like the more I think about it, and the biggest thing about playoff basketball is matchups.
Yep.
And so like the more we talk about it, the more I see the matchups happening. They're like, okay, these teams are actually not as far apart as you think.
Yeah.
Right?
Like we always said, the top of the East really matches up with the top of the West.
Yeah, but I've seen something in Kawhi Leonard from the beginning of the year to this point that has just been different. Like anytime I've watched him play, I've put my in a world of advanced stats, and advanced stats do matter. I'm not saying
a ton.
Advanced stats, especially in basketball and baseball, things of that nature, football still trying to come around. It matters. And it shows. But there's still something about just the good old eye test that like means something to me. And Kawhi Leonard has been that way. So if they win it, Kawhi Leonard is going to win the MVP. Now on the Warriors side,
that's tricky.
I don't think Steph gonna get it if they win. I think Draymond could get it, but if Draymond doesn't get it, then it will be Steph. Like I think that Draymond argument is.
Do you think KD could win it even after missing two games?
I don't know if they would.
Let's say he goes to seven.
He'd have to go crazy.
Let's say he goes to seven. He goes crazy from game three to game seven.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. But if he goes like game five. Even if he went like nuts.
If he only has to play one or two games for them to clinch it, then I don't think he
would. I would
agree. I mean,
that makes sense. I would love to see Steph get it this time. Like,
I think everyone wants him to.
I would love to see him go nuts.
I could see him getting it.
I would love to. But I think lately we've been seeing like the MVP go to somebody that's kind of all-encompassing, that's playing across the board well. I mean, I think Draymond has that potential to go there. Because like even when the Cavs beat the Warriors a couple years ago, when they came back from 3-1, I thought Kyrie Irving should have won the MVP just because it's the play in the clutch, you know, those big moments. But
LeBron did almost average a triple double,
So,
and he also, it was his first win for Cleveland, so like there was no way the media was going to let that go. I don't know. I feel like this is, Greg was mentioning how like you need things to line up the right way, like Storm, you know, to beat the Warriors. I think Steph has everything lined up for him this year to win the finals MVP. There's no KD. There's no Cousins. He's the main scorer on this team. He's the best rebounding guard in this series. Like, that's about to come up. He can do a lot. I mean, I could see him really getting it off and really winning this one.
Yeah.
Because everything is lined up for him to be able to.
Yeah.
However, we never know what the word is because they're such a good team that it doesn't matter who scores, it doesn't matter who gets the assist, matters if they win. So sometimes you'll see Dre with 7 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists, and he was the best player of that game. But also sometimes you have Steph dropping 50 with like 7 for 8 from the 3-point range and just like being the best player as well.
I would love to see a Steph like explosion game where he just comes out
81.
And just...
You but know, it, I would love it if Steph dropped 81 in Jurassic Park. Okay, that's like unrealistic, but I would absolutely love it.
It matters so much on how the Raptors are going to play off the screens and stuff. And
do you think they match Kawhi against Steph, Greg? Without KD in the picture?
I think they can. I think they can toy with that. I think that you'll still see Lowry on him.
Like as far as like the point of contact type of guy.
Yeah.
Because Lowry is a great defender as well.
But Leonard... If they decide to do pick and roll stuff, I think that Siakam or Leonard in the pick and roll will just be like, all right, pass him off to me. Like we've got the length to contain him. Because Steph is an incredible ball handler for sure, but he's also very smart. So if he sees a guy with the length to kind of contain him, he's gonna just pull out to reset the offense. You know, give it to Draymond. Yep. Like he isn't gonna. He's not quite gonna force it. He's not quite like Kawhi in the ISO or KD in the ISO.
Russell
who
Westbrook.
Just like I can shoot over you.
I'm not dissing Russell Westbrook, but Russell Westbrook will never be like, we should probably reset the offense. No, he will try to dunk on you as hard as he can with all the power he had.
I think another thing that helps the Raptors is the fact that they can switch so much off of Steph running off of screens and stuff. Like I think there's a comparable defender to come off.
Can't you say the same thing about the Warriors though?
Huh?
Can't you say the same thing about the Warriors? No, but you're taking that away.
I'm saying as a product of how the Golden State offense works.
Yeah. Oh, I got
you. So like where like one guard is constantly like chasing Steph off of screens. Like if Lowry's a point of contact guy and Steph starts running off of screens, I don't think the Warriors, I mean not Warriors, but I don't think the Raptors have a tough time or have that big of an issue, like switching off to a guy, if that makes sense.
No, it does. Yeah. How big of a role do you guys think Drake is playing? We have to talk about Drake. I'm sorry.
I was actually just looking at the Warriors.
Does he have advanced stats?
The Warriors bench. No. I was just looking at the Warriors bench because I was just like, who are the players that I remember on the Warriors bench? They got guys like Jonas Jerebko going out there.
I don't hate
Jordan. Jordan Bell has been solid. Quinn Cook, when he has minutes, is all right. But
yeah, I love.
But Alphonso McKinney,
he's been okay.
Been nice.
They haven't been. Oh, they have some guys who were like in the G League at some point this year, like playing on this roster. But like, they aren't terrible.
No,
like the Raptors have passed Norman Powell. Like if you think of like Van Vliet and like nobody passed Powell's getting back in the game.
I love watching these guys in suits. Like at the end of the night, I'm like, I know you're a player, but I have never seen you in my entire life on the court. For the Raptors, I'm like, wow. Like, I thought I knew basketball. I know nothing.
They throwing Patrick McCaw out this weekend?
McCaw has had some...
They have to, right?
Had some games.
He hasn't played at all, but...
No, he's played a little bit. I don't know if he played in the Bucks series.
I don't think that's what I was saying.
I think he should play.
Do you think if he plays, like, literally, like, just go flagrant right away and just, like, this is what you get for leaving us.
Bob Myers?
He's been one of the main, like, storylines for some reason. I get it. By the way, he's never missed a finals in his career so far, and he jokingly said he was boring.
Yeah, I saw that.
Can't wait for him to be shipped out to, like, the Suns.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, Drake, can he have any impact on this series?
I think 100-1 odds he's the MVP, clearly.
I think
as much as Kyle Lowry. Yes. I
think he's the first non-player MVP. I agree with that.
But see, if they win, if he doesn't get, like, he gets... at least a trophy, and he definitely gets the ring as well.
Oh, let me break something down here, because this is pissing me off. Drake is not just a fan.
He's not a super fan
at all.
Oh.
He's a member of the organization.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
he's an ambassador for this team.
NBA ambassador for the Toronto Raptors.
Let's not sit here and act like Drake is just some guy who happens to be a celebrity and has lots of money.
Is he supposed to give a massage to Nick Nurse?
But he is one of those also.
He is a member of this organization.
And if he wants to give a little neck massage to a tired coach who's been coaching his butt off, let him do it.
If he wants to be the sixth man. He has a song, Six Man Like Lou Williams. What do you think that means, Greg?
What do you think that means, Greg?
He's the sixth man.
You know nothing, Greg.
He's out there talking cash to your favorite players. He's out there.
Okay, first of all, talked about matchups. Draymond Drake, probably favorite matchup of the entire series. Because, like, okay, first of all, I don't know if you guys remember this. Drake was on the sideline when the Raptors were playing the Wizards. I think it was last year. And Drake was like, something like he literally yelled at John Wall while John Wall was playing. I was like, you're bad, like just a regular trash talking. And Wall was trash talking him as well. And then I think either Drake or Wall said, I'm not going to see you again in Toronto. And Toronto ended up like clinching the series at the end. So if Drake got into John Wall's head,
I'm not talking to blood game, John Wall. John Wall, that boy, don't mess with John Wall.
No, I love John Wall.
No, I'm just saying,
like, don't hurt me.
Drake don't want
at the same No, that's what I love about Drake. He's like the nicest dude, like biggest smile. And then for some reason, he'll think like he'll have to talk. Like he talks smack to Giannis. I wish Giannis would have turned around and just like walked two steps. I would have loved to see Drake's reaction. Like, Chubbs.
What's the likelihood that Drake checks into the game this series?
Probably 101.
Put him on a 10-day
only
contract.
If he has the headband around the ears.
Absolutely.
That's the only time.
That's the power. That's the rule.
He has to do Klay Thompson headband.
That's the rule.
Around the ears.
Yep. Not the headband
also,
rule.
If Toronto wins, does he dedicate an entire album?
Yes.
But like, okay.
He was ready for fire the next day.
No, but here's what I want for the album.
You think he already has it recorded?
Drake is the type of cat to always have something recorded right now.
Here's what I want for the album, though. I want the album to have as many tracks as the Raptors have played games in the postseason. First of all, that'd be sick, right? That's a great idea, right? Second of all, I want him to use all his like previous like cover album, like cover photos for his album and switch it with like players instead of him.
That'd be sweet.
So Kyle Lowry, you know in that like the which one is it? Take care.
We sitting at the table.
You have Kyle Lowry. The Nothing Was Ever the Same. Kawhi Leonard.
Who's fit with the profile?
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard. Nice. And then if something else happens, oh my God. I can't wait. That's the only reason I want the Raptors to win. because I want Drake to drop like some like massive heat.
Give me your cover for Marc Gasol.
Views. So like that, you can't really see him. Yes, you can't really see him. Because like Marc Gasol, like as good of a player as he is, he's not super appealing marketing wise. So like, put him all the way in the bottom, like in the views cover like thing. So he can't really be seen, but he's there.
You know who I wish was on this team still? I feel like Jonas Valanciunas deserves.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely.
How are we going with Valanciunas but not DeMar DeRozan?
Oh.
Y'all are sick.
But I like
y'all are sick.
Also because Valanciunas was a better IQ basketball player. So anyway, hey, so we're gonna.
Oh God!
So now that we've talked enough about Spurs Raptors five Warriors. Next year. Oh right. Predictions real quick. Raptors Warriors.
Warriors in five.
Oh gosh.
I have to stick by it. That's what I said on Twitter. After the game.
Okay, I respect it.
I have to stick by it. I did say that it could go to six. I just don't see a sweep happening, obviously. But I do see the Warriors really coming out firing. And if they still won in, I think they still two in Jurassic Park. I think they still the first one, and they still the game five. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. Greg?
I'm going Raptors in seven.
Okay.
I mean, I was surprised when the Raptors won the last series in six. So if they did the same thing the Warriors, I would be wholly impressed. But I think it does go the distance. I think that we have a nice back and forth last 2 minutes between Kawhi and KD. A little bit of Steph peppered in there, you know.
I
like that to the end. And then if we can give Kyle Lowry.
Just one shot in the last minute. One moment for this
series where he is the deciding factor.
Yeah.
I would love that so much.
Okay, because as much as I give him crap, he deserves. Like, if they win, he deserves most of the credit.
He's like Raptor of the franchise.
But at the same time, what I was just saying before you go into your prediction, Dre, if there are two things that I want to happen, is if Toronto wins it, I want it to be in Toronto. I don't want it to be an Oracle Arena.
So they should throw if they're up.
Yeah, like I'm being dead serious.
They should throw.
I'm being dead serious because you know how nuts the city would be, like Cleveland winning one in like Cleveland their first championship in Oracle was like, it was really good, right? Like, it sucked because it wasn't in Cleveland and I think the city would have gone wild, but an entire country going like berserk. Like, these guys are already in line right now for the game. Can you even imagine? And there were no incidents when they won the Eastern Conference Finals, by the way.
So up 3-2, we're going to see...
You drop one.
We're going to see...
You drop one. Kawhi I don't Leonard, care what you have to
he
do.
He just judges trajectory. He's like, I'm going to make this bounce.
No, yeah. Right. No, you...
No, he calls the timeout when they don't have
one. You throw it. You throw the game. Do it for the fans.
Does he put money on that game as well so he can...
Well, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Prediction for you, Dre?
I'm still going to take Warriors in six. I do think it can go seven, but I think if the Warriors have an opportunity to win at Oracle, like to get the home court swung back in their favor, they're going to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
So I think they'll split in Toronto. These first two. I do have Toronto winning the first one.
Yeah. Okay.
The Warriors coming out and winning the second one.
Okay.
Toronto actually is the favorite in the first one by 1 point.
Yeah. So, you see, what's really funny is that's the reason I picked them in five is the Warriors, for some reason, have an ability to clinch series when they're away more often than they were at home. So that's why I was thinking six. Then I was like, I don't see them necessarily winning at Oracle with the Raptors for some reason. I see them winning in Toronto to clinch the series.
You win in six, they would win at home, right?
Six would be at home.
Six would be at home. And I do think Toronto can get one in Oracle. That's what I just based off the stuff I said at the beginning, I think Kawhi Leonard has the ability.
And I think all of us, and I'm speaking for all of us, I think we all are praying for a seven game series because I think that would be as entertaining as it gets.
I wanted to go seven.
Yeah. I think I have to be.
But I think if Durant comes back at the end.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, we have to go ahead and close this out. I think they have the ability to do so.
I think they're the one, like they're the only NBA team that goes, guys, we need to stop this. I need to close. Like they can't actually do it. I don't think the Raptors have that yet, which, you know, maybe I'm wrong. And the reason I picked them in five once the Warriors in five is not because I'm crazy. It's because I do believe of the Warriors' potential to really be that great. And I might be completely wrong once again. I don't think I've been right once in this postseason.
I don't think any of us really have.
Yeah, we should probably keep track of
that. No, we have, though. We've been good.
We have?
We've been.
That's a lie. Yeah.
Not Louis, though.
Louis's been terrible.
Yeah, no, he's not been great.
Lakers thought or not?
Yeah, no, I think we should talk a little bit about the Lakers stuff.
All right, quickly, though.
So, yeah, article drops 2 days ago from Baxter Holmes of ESPN talking about the dysfunction in the Lakers front office ever since the end of the 2016-17 season. Really focuses more on Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson, of course. You know, big little scenes here with Magic Johnson the first day kind of bringing all the employees in and telling them, we're going to run a tight ship here. You better be on board, and if you're not, I have 1,000 resumes on my desk, and I'm ready to replace you at a moment's notice, which is not necessarily the best move to make when you're trying to reign over. No.
Also, he did make $600 million with his other company, so...
He did not maintain focus in being the president of...
Because he was busy making $600 million with his other company.
Which generally you need to have all of your time and energy if you're going to run an NBA franchise. Rob Pelinka is made out to be a liar and someone who does not really take input from his scouting and other team staff. Whereas...
Do you think he did that with Kobe?
Last season when Amari Spellman... of Villanova was available to the Lakers at 25. He talked to Josh Hart, and from Josh Hart's input was like, all right, we're going to skip on him. We're going to take Mo Wagner, and we're going to just run with that.
Hey, don't hate on Mo.
Not hating on Mo. I'm just saying what was in this report. Also,
he said that. You wrote that.
Very, very weird situation where Rich Paul of Clutch.
Yes.
Is it a restaurant talking to Adam Silver about how they need to get Luke Walton out of the Lakers. And later on, Rich Paul was seen on the Lakers team jet, which is ethical stuff going on there.
That's heavily frowned upon.
So, Say yeah, less. Guys,
Drake,
long read.
Drake, just Drake.
Very long read. It's like a 25-minute read, but a lot of good stuff here.
Andre, this is your Andre's gripes. Get it off your chest. This is a safe platform. Get it out.
Just thoughts, takeaways from this?
No, I want him to be raw, emotional, and angry.
How dare you?
When you say you.
Take a franchise, story franchise, legacy franchise. As a former player of the team, one of the probably the best point guard of all time. How dare you, as well as Rob Pelinka, a representative of the best Laker of all time. And Kobe Bryant, and Jeannie Buss. How do y'all let this happen? Like, we spoke about this yesterday. Just how toxic the whole environment was to the point where they sucked everybody in. I know I talked about it more, I'm going to copy exactly what I said yesterday, where you have people on the bottom level getting sucked in to the top. It's not just the front office that are impacted or that's having issues. It's from every level. Rob Pelinka involving or speaking on Josh Hart's name publicly like that, now you're involving the players, okay?
For no reason.
For no reason. Magic shouldn't have done that with the resume stuff. I don't know how true that stuff is, right? He shouldn't have done that, but that's also a byproduct of what happens when you also put an athlete in charge. Because think about it, athletes are always operating out of a mentality of, okay, next man up. So, like, if you're not doing the job,
you ain't cutting it by.
We can replace you. Like,
because that's how they were treated.
And that's how they were treated, okay? So that's another thing. Magic also should have vet the situation before and just I think his competitive nature, his competitive spirit is a byproduct of why he failed as well.
We can get through
because that and the fact he's saying, I can take all this on my plate and do it. When unknowing that he couldn't. Because when you have your hands in so many buckets, it's just tough. It's tough. So him not being able to vet the situation and say, okay, maybe I should probably just come on as in type of like a consulting role, which he was already basically operating within.
And he was doing well.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Then you have LeBron James camp spiraling out of control because Rich Paul is his representative. And I like LeBron. He's a great player, one of the best of all time. He's a great man as far as what he does for the community. But we can't sit here and say that LeBron doesn't have a hand in some of the things that's happening with his organizations because he has a heavy input. And so if Rich Paul is saying they need to get rid of Luke Walton.
Does that mean
where do you think that is naturally coming from?
Which, given it could be Rich Paul, because Rich Paul is known to be a very aggressive agent. But at the same time, saying, if you're representing someone like LeBron James, they it's going to be linked back to you.
Rich Paul did recommend Tyronn Lue. So I'm just saying.
This is all I'm saying.
I mean.
Now, with all that being said, how are you as the Lakers? This isn't a situation where you're the Knicks, where like you have glory and luster just because you're in New York. They don't have glory and luster just because they're in L.A. They have glory and luster because they have won championships. I mean, they have the second most champions of all time. Like, they have a legitimate reason to have coverage, if that makes sense, right?
So,
hold up. Let me finish my statement. How are you letting this spiral out of control to this level?
That bad.
That's crazy.
And you haven't even mentioned the biggest name, I think, is Jeannie Buss. Like,
that's what I'm saying. How are you?
That's you.
That's a reference to Jeannie.
So her lack of involvement... is like what? Okay.
Like, I don't think it falls on necessarily
one person. No. Is her lack of involvement the biggest headline that you make out of all that bullcrap?
Well, can you say it's really a lack of involvement when she's the one who's empowered all of these people
to do
these things?
So I guess what I'm saying is her very big involvement at first to then, hey, I'm not here.
I don't want to talk
about all those things anymore. Like, she was at the press conference, but didn't talk when Rob Pelinka, like when Magic Johnson, like made that statement on first date.
She's like with Grayson. I think she vested too much power in too many people. Like, it should go through. When you're doing front office stuff, you need to have a person that's extremely strong in what they're doing, but doesn't micromanage people.
Yep.
Because it comes down to people doing their job, and when people feel like they have range to do their job within a certain context,
they do it better.
They're going to do it better. And the hirings of Magic Johnson and Pelinka just did not pan out to that way, that fashion or form. That doesn't mean they're bad people. That doesn't mean... I mean, because, like, you don't know them personally, so you can't sit here and say they're a bad person. You know what I'm saying?
That doesn't
mean they're bad people. They made poor decisions.
They made mistakes.
And they just weren't the correct people for the job. But throughout this process, you're seeing it over 82 games. You're seeing it. You're in the office. I wonder what's going on behind the scenes. Because you are behind the scenes. And you're seeing this stuff unfold. And you're not doing anything to address it within the present time. So now, when the collapse is all on itself, now it's we have to react and try to clean up the situation. No, it should have been precautionary. You are the Los Angeles Lakers. You are the Los Angeles Lakers. And now you expect, we have money and capital, and we are Los Angeles. We can bring more people in as far as players, this and that third, to make the situation better. No, because it all starts from the top and it goes down. That's the reason it broke down, because it started from the top and broke down from there.
And this is the crumbling of a brand, because LeBron James, who made the decision.
Who wants to sign with them now?
Not because of the Lakers necessarily. He decided to go out there because of family. Because of the entertainment industry.
Many reasons outside of the Lakers
organization. But we've been talking about this for the past few seasons. Whenever a big name free agent comes out and they say they want to play in LA, and the Lakers are like, oh, we're going to sign this guy, no problem. They take a look, they have a meeting, and they see that this is happening from the top down. Exactly. And as a player who's already not having stability just by the nature of having a contract that's, you know, has opts outs and incentives and whatnot, are you really going to come to the Lakers right now after that article, after talking to the players in that locker room that you know? Because you know Lonzo Ball and, like, Josh Hart, Kyle Kuzma, they have agents with these other important players in the league. And they'd be like, all right, how much is this true? How much of this is real?
You know who's, like, drooling, salivating, making themselves look really pretty right now?
The Clippers?
Steve Ballmer? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, the Clippers are like, this is God-given right now.
For sure.
Because Kawhi ain't even thinking about the Lakers if he tries to leave. No. Clippers. KD? Clippers. Even Kyrie, if there were talks that he's interested in the Brooklyn Nets, but if he wanted to go to the West Coast, even as much as he wants to play with LeBron, I don't think he wants to anymore. This is unbelievable. One thing I do like is the level of transparency somehow that we obtained, because we know way more than we usually do.
Agree with that completely. Yeah.
So I don't know who, you know. If
no, this was good reporting.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Incredible report. Like, you know, that's what you want to see as a fan, as a media, as a.
And I can
anyone.
Also respect Magic coming out and saying,
yeah,
and talking.
That was big. No, that was a big move. Was it really calculated? Because it was the day that.
No.
That was a little messed up. I'm just so concerned about Pelinka. Like, where does it end?
Yeah, I don't think that the Lakers are going to be able to move forward without removing him.
You have to.
And the fact that Jeannie allowed him
to still handpick the next coach and get Vogel, who I like. I like Vogel, but I don't think he's a good fit with the guys they have. It's just not it. I don't foresee that being a good marriage. Now, mind you, LeBron has shown that, like, when he wants to, he can get along with any coach. But if he doesn't want to,
you're out.
We're going to be in the same song and dance that we were last trade deadline.
Yeah, for sure.
Tell that to David Blatt. Who's also balling with
also the side products of all of this, when you have a constant carousel of things, how are you going to develop players? You have this pool of
cool. Yeah, how do you think Lonzo, Mo, and all these guys want to play now?
How are you going to develop these guys when things are constantly changing in the front office? When things are constantly changing in the coaching sphere? You can't develop. This is ultimate stagnation for this franchise.
So who do you – okay, and I definitely get that. Who would be someone that you bring in the front office to just bring some stability? Like, what's the name that...
Greg, that's y'all you.
Yeah.
As far as my front office knowledge, it's not really deep, so...
Like, what's someone that... Like, who do you think can really, like, bring some stability?
He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't.
No,
he's not interested in that at all.
No. I think if they can sell Jerry West...
Oh,
he will not.
No,
he won't touch it either. But I'm saying, like, I'm not saying, like, what's realistic. I'm saying, like, someone. Just bring anybody.
Just grab me somebody.
But even, like someone like Larry Bird, like, the Pacers have done an incredible job with their franchise. You know what I mean?
What's the old boy from that used to be the host of Dirty Jobs? You remember that show? Dirty Jobs?
No, I don't actually.
You know what I'm not from here.
He would just try a bunch of jobs?
No.
His name is Mike. Just type in Dirty Jobs real quick.
I'm not from here, so I can't talk about it.
It looked great.
Oh, so you're being discriminative?
You've seen that guy before, right? Have you seen that dude before?
Oh, yeah.
What's his name? Well, anyway, they need to bring that dude in.
You know who you need to bring? No, you need to bring the guy from Hell's Kitchen.
Gordon Ramsay?
Yep.
That might be worse than Magic.
I mean...
He's just talking crazy.
Mike Rowe.
That's a good dirty name.
Is anyone you know that's available in terms of like GM or front office personnel that's available right now?
Not that I know offhand. I mean, I know that the latest like GM move was the Minnesota Timberwolves, right? Getting Sachin Gupta from Detroit under Gersen Rosas. Both of them
Pistons worked. Still thriving.
Both of them. Both of them.
The one guy. Anyone else? I'm sorry.
Both of them had worked together before in Houston and were known as like top front office guys. I mean, if you're the Lakers, maybe a guy like Troy Weaver from the Thunder, who's an assistant there, Brian Wright from the Spurs, an assistant there. Mike Zarin from the Celtics, though he would never go there because he's a lifelong Celtics fan, so he won't do that.
If you're in the Celtics organization, you really don't leave. That's one thing I've noticed. Like they keep you because you'll die if you leave. So are the Lakers the worst franchise right now to play for?
In terms of this organization,
not level, but yeah.
I mean, you've got to put them up there with the Knicks. Obviously,
are they worse than the Knicks?
No.
Still not.
I want
to
go that far.
I don't think it's hard to say until, like, if this summer you see the Knicks actually grab some people, then you might have to say the Lakers are. But
Alco could be a stop from the Knicks grabbing people.
Yeah.
Because Dolan's just so terrible. I don't think the Lakers are going to sign anybody big this summer. I think they're going to be extremely disappointed.
I think
that if they do something by somebody,
they'll be happy to get, like, a Kemba or, like,
Kyrie, I do think Kyrie could be a positive.
If they bring someone, it needs to be someone who's so clean on paper that, like, you cannot be touched. Like, there cannot be any, like, weird things with him.
So you don't see Jimmy Butler going to L.A. next to LeBron James?
I would love that. But he's busy coaching Mark Wahlberg's daughter.
He is doing that. He has other priorities right now.
Which I would rather be coaching Mark Wahlberg's daughter than playing for the Lakers right now.
Yes.
That's where we're at.
Yes.
Any draws of the week? Besides yourself?
Yes.
Greg, what pissed you off this past week and a half?
Nah, we're good over here. We're fine.
I guess my worst in five was my over.
Is it your overreaction?
Overreaction weekly.
I gotta throw up a little bit.
All right. Well, I think that's time to wrap it up then. If we gotta throw it up, Dre, you wanna take it out?
Yeah, man. Thanks for listening to us rant, to us ramble. We love you guys per usual, the ones that do listen. Give us 5 stars.
No, we love everyone and we want everyone to listen.
No,
that's not how you Andre build Trent a fan base. Andre
specifically loves those that listen. I'll take loyalty over love any day. But anyway,
that's not you making this.
Thank you for listening to Lane Violation. Get ready for a very solid series, and we will be doing a live pod from Toronto.
We'll be in Toronto
on Sunday.
On Sunday,
or maybe from Texas Day Brazil, but so,
most likely. But I could be in Toronto as well.
Either way,
we'll have a location graphic that will say Toronto.
Kick your feet up, enjoy whatever the weather is, sunny and enjoyable, because Chicago, we never know. So thank you guys, and good night.
Peace. Bye.